Welcome to the Ag Pro Podcast. I'm Margie Eckelkamp, editor of Ag Pro. And in this episode, we are sharing a recent conversation I had with Galen Beer at Agro Liquid. And he's really encouraging ag retailers to take on a consultative role with farmers as they're making crop fertility decisions for this 2020 crop year. So join me and listen in to this recent conversation. Joining us on today's Ag Pro Podcast is Galen Beer with AgriLiquid. Galen, how are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you, Margie?
Doing good. So if we could, let's get kicked off. And if you could tell our audience a bit about yourself, where you're located, and also a bit about AgriLiquid.
Okay, yeah, sure. Well, I grew up in Oklahoma, so I grew up on an irrigated farm in the Oklahoma Panhandle and irrigated from the Ogallala Aquifer that tends to get a lot of publicity on the, you know, on the water take rates out there. That's where I grew up, and my dad's still farming there today. Grew up with always just a curiosity about soils and love to learn more about soils. And then oddly enough, when I went to college, I went to the University of Oklahoma, which is a non-land grant school in Oklahoma, but just wanted to expand out and look at some other skills that I might need. So I ended up with a finance degree and then ended up with an opportunity to go to work for AgriLiquid. And it's kind of allowed me to marry those two in my role where I can kind of combine that soil knowledge and that passion for soils with kind of understanding what it means to the grower and those economic decisions that he has to make, especially in today's climate. And AgriLiquid is a company that's based out of St. John's, Michigan. So it's just north of Lansing. And that's actually where I live now, is in the Lansing, Michigan area. And we make a full line of crop nutrition, so that we can kind of meet the needs of different crops and different soil conditions.
Yeah. If you could tell us a little bit about AgriLiquid's current distribution network across the U.S.
Yeah, so our current distribution network is that we have, number one, we have five manufacturing plants. So we have one in Michigan where the home base is. Then we have one in north central Iowa. We have one in northwest Kansas, one in North Dakota, and another one in Stockton, California. And really, from there, we rely on a channel that is an independent channel that actually is the customer-facing piece of our product. So we will distribute to ag retailers, and they, in turn, will sell it to their customer base. And we do have an extensive network of retailers scattered all across the country from North Carolina all the way to California. But our highest concentration is really in that Great Plains, High Plains area, but still do have a good network throughout the U.S. and a little bit in Mexico and some in Canada as well.
Oh, wow. So extensive geographic footprint here that you can draw from. And I'm really curious, we're having this conversation shortly before planting season is really getting kicked off and the winter farm show circuit is wrapping up. So what have you guys heard from farmers as you've been making those rounds around the winter farm shows?
Well, probably much like you guys, I think the main concerns that we're hearing is just the uncertainty that guys are facing. They just came through, you know, kind of an unprecedented, difficult year in terms of how the year went, the constant rain and some cool weather and things like that. Then you throw in the trade wars and what does that mean to everybody? It's hard to plan for how, if there's going to be a market facilitation payment, if so, how's that going to be determined and administered? And then, you know, commodity prices, that's certainly a factor there as well. And then I think one thing I'm hearing is just a little more concern over having adequate capital to kind of fund operations this year. So those are really the types of things that you have weighing on farmers this year. And of course, the recency bias of how difficult last year was is going to probably spill over into some decisions this year.
Yeah. And, you know, with those profit pressures and uncertainty, every dollar is being examined for its return on investment. And how have you seen that impact the farmers' considerations for crop fertility decisions?
And yeah, some of the things that are being impacted, especially in the area of crop fertility, our farmers are going to kind of have this pecking order of covering what they see as most limiting. And when you're in, you know, a grass crop like wheat or corn or any of your non-legume crops, nitrogen's going to get top billing. And so you hear them talking about meeting that need. And I think what you're going to see is there's going to be this pecking order of people after they've met that nitrogen need, what budget do I have left over? And yeah, you're going to see some odd decisions, I think, take place there where they might eliminate some critical micronutrients, or, you know, they might eliminate some potassium or phosphorus. So I think once they cover that nitrogen need, I think that there's going to be a pecking order. And I think that's kind of our biggest concern is nitrogen's going to be king, but really these other nutrients are critical to crop production too, but they're more expensive, so it's going to be easier for that farmer mentally to kind of set those aside.
So you talk about AgroLiquid has a full crop fertility lineup. What products do you think will be the most exciting as you look into 2020, or what products do you even want to bring more attention around in 2020?
Well, I mean, to a degree, Margie, I'm excited about all of our products, and CMA is important partly because you have such diversity of crops and soils across the U.S. And so you see a different demand for those as a result of that. But I think, you know, what excites me a little bit about what we do is that when you look at the difficulty of last year and kind of the tough economics people are facing, it's always hard to plan ahead for what's this year going to give me. Am I going to get my crop in on time? What's the growing conditions going to be like? And we always advocate, guys, plan for that normal year, that average year, and let's get some fertilizer out there. But what our products will do is give them the opportunity to make what I consider a more informed decision. As we get into that season, we see we got good emergence, things are going well. Maybe we realized we didn't quite get enough potassium out there, or maybe we realized we didn't spend the money on that boron up front. Now with our products, you have the ability to go out there with a side dress application or a wide drop application that was considered nitrogen only in the past, and now you can throw in some calibrate, which is a potassium sulfate, or you can add in some boron, or maybe we need to throw in a little zinc, but it gives us some opportunity to delay that decision till we have better information, and also kind of delay the hit on our capital until we kind of see what we're into in the growing year.
Yeah. Now, you talk a little bit about that geographic reach. Are there any geographic trends that you'd like to highlight?
Well, I think, you know, what we're seeing geographically, really, it relates to a lot of the soils in the area. So as you get into the high plains, those arid climates that extend into Utah and out in California, phosphorus and micronutrients are always going to be a concern out there. And I think guys are having a heightened awareness about that, as well as sulfur. It's taken a few years of everyone recognizing that sulfur isn't as available as it used to be. We're good at cleaning the air now, so now we need to apply that nutrient. So you get in those high pH soils, phosphorus micronutrients and sulfur is going to have that heightened need. But as you kind of move into the more wet environments, you're seeing guys be concerned with things like boron, and molybdenum seems to be kind of a hot topic right now that guys are looking at.
Okay.
We have molybdenum. So that's one of those nutrients that we make. So as you move east, that molybdenum in more acidic soils tends to be needed more, whereas in that high pH soil, it'd be more sulfur, micros, and phosphorus. So moving east, molybdenum, potassium is always going to be a concern. Sometimes you get guys wanting to throw in a little magnesium or some calcium or something as well.
Excellent. And Kalen, what opportunities with AgriLiquid do you want to be sure ag retailers are aware of?
Well, I think one thing that ag retailers need to be careful of this year is that they're just aware of what grower tendencies are going to be. One thing okay. that I've heard all winter is just, man, locked in their memories is last year. And look, I grew up on a farm. I understand recency bias. We always remember the last market high or the last market low. We remember those extremes, and last year was an extreme weather-wise. And so now what you have to do is realize they're going to want to carry that forward into future decisions when we may return back to normal this year. And so I would just caution ag retailers to be there as a resource for their growers and to also help buffer out some of that tendency to maybe not make a good decision because of what they just came through. I've been saying this spring, don't let one bad golf shot lead to two bad golf shots, you know, and yeah. sometimes the memory of last year and the impact that had on our business kind of carries forward, and we start making our plans according to that worst case scenario when we actually need to just reset and look at normal rather than looking at that case that was an outlier. Doesn't mean it couldn't repeat, but the, you know, it's very small chance that it would. We're more likely to return to normal.
Galen, if I could ask one more question, and that would be, what is your number one tip today when it comes to crop fertility?
The number one tip really is just balance. I think more and more we've become aware that the old habits of NPK, they're still there. But what we're finding out is that you need that supporting cast of sulfur, of manganese, iron, zinc, copper, boron, really. We're finding out that over time that supporting cast helps make those other primary nutrients perform better. I remember we used to put on 1.3 pounds of nitrogen for a bushel of corn. You're hearing guys now do it with 0.7 of a pound of nitrogen for a bushel of corn, and that's a very responsible practice, but you don't get that efficiency if you don't have that supporting cast of nutrients behind it. So you might give up a little nitrogen inventory in the soil and then invest some of that money over here in manganese and iron and other key chlorophyll building elements to kind of support that. So I think that's the tip that I would say, is just understand that everything works together. Balance is key in order to maximize that production from all of those nutrients.
Excellent. Galen, thank you so much for joining us today on the AgPro podcast.
You bet. Thanks for having me on.
That concludes our AgPro podcast, and thank you for listening. Please connect with us on Twitter at AgProfessional. We welcome all ideas for future interviews and subjects.